Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church. This is going to be a special day because we have a special person bringing us the message today. And as usual, when the chiefs are away, you know, then the Indians get to take care of the planning and change the service a little bit. So we're going to start with our announcements today. So Ellen, it's your turn.
Hello, everybody. This is what Betty sent me, and a couple other people gave me some things. If you came in and looked at the table back there, you saw the directory, and it needs to be updated. So Kay told me that they will be taking pictures over the next 3 weeks if you want a new picture. If you're satisfied with what you have already, then that's fine. If there's any other information that needs to be updated, please fill that out on the form that Kay has in the back on the table. Are there any visitors with us today? Anybody here that we've never seen before? Nope? Okay. How about anybody who's celebrating a birthday this week? Does that fit anyone? My friend Alice over there is it, and Bernadette, okay, when is that, Alice?
Friday.
All right, and tomorrow, okay, so when we sing, we always say the month, and so we'll be, since there are two of them, we'll have to say October babies, because they are, all right, ready? Okay. Happy birthday to you. And is anyone celebrating an anniversary this week? None of those. Okay. There is choir practice this Thursday, and I'm so happy because I was the only alto for a little while my friend Lynn was recuperating, so Barb helped me out a lot. But now we have Alice, and Lynn Sorensen decided she's going to sing too. So altos feel a little stronger now. Betty wants you to know that her ladies' Bible study is going to start on Monday, the 27th of October at their house. I don't see that she gave me a topic. Does anybody? Women in the Bible. Okay, okay. There's also a ladies' luncheon that's going to take place on the 20th of October. Usually it's at Betty's house, but this time they're going to be going to the Elephant Bar in, I think it's in Centennial or Greenwood Village. Has anybody ever been there before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Bobby's going to give us more information on that. Okay, Bobby.
I hope you all know that the ladies meet on the third Monday of every month, normally at Betty's house, and she cooks the main dish. We usually have at least 20 people there. I mean, it's a big job, so I thought it would be nice, since this is her birthday month, that we take her to lunch, and it was suggested the Elephant Bar, which is just west of I-25 on Arapahoe Road, but we'll meet up here at the clubhouse at 11:30 and carpool, so don't worry about driving. And then the other thing that I'll say real quickly is once a month on the second Tuesday, which is this coming Tuesday, we have this dinner with friends where whomever would like, we meet at 5:30 in the restaurant here and just have, you know, some a nice evening. You don't have to eat dinner if you want to just come have a drink or come have dessert, whatever. And we don't have very many people signed up for this Tuesday. So I hope you'll consider and join us. And we might be in the Shavano room, you know, if you don't see people when you first come in, that means they've put us in there. So we hope to see all of you this Tuesday at 5:30 and all you ladies a week from Monday on the 20th, 11:30 here to go to the Elephant Bar. Okay? Thank you, Ellen.
All right. There's going to be a men's get-together on the 25th of October, and Jim Shook will be presenting his topic from his trip to Antarctica. So that'll be interesting. You need to come and hear Jim talk. Pat Cox told me that this Thursday at 2 o'clock in the Wyndham Room, which is down the hall, she's going to be giving her topic called Medicare Open Enrollment, sponsored by United Healthcare. So if any of you are looking for new enrollment, be sure you come on Thursday and see what Pat has to say at 2 o'clock. Betty also wanted me to remind you that there's a sign-up sheet in the back regarding the All Church Appreciation Dinner, and that's going to be December the 14th. Pretty much everybody volunteers, so the cost might be around $15 per person. They don't know for sure yet, but as soon as Betty finds out, she will let you know. Also, every year on Veterans Day, we have a celebration here in the Antero Room. This one will be, of course, November 11th. The Heritage Voices will be singing. So please, if you are a veteran or even if you just want to celebrate with them, put that on your calendar. I believe it's a Tuesday, November 11th. I also was going to tell you that Vonnie has a prayer request on the back table. It looks like this. And it's for Christians who are in serious danger of persecution back there in the Middle East. So please pick a copy up on your way out if you haven't done so already. I think that's about it. Barb, you have anything else?
Yeah, thank you, Ellen. We know that the Broncos played today early, and so I asked Tom if we could cut the hymns short today to one verse, but he wouldn't go along with it. So we welcome all of you, and it's time for us to begin our service now with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this group of Christians, for all the things you have done for our little church. We are so blessed in so many ways. This morning, we have many travelers and people who are away, so we ask you would be with them and bring them back to us safely. We ask that you be with Dr. Ballard this morning as he brings us the message. There are worldwide crises that we need to pray for, and even the Ebola outbreak, we now have another case here in the United States. So we ask that you give us all comfort and peace and put your arms around us and surround us with your love. All of these things we ask in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. That makes us want to get up and dance, right? Those who were here last week, well, most of you know that I always open with a story of some kind, but last week I had a conversation with God, if you'll remember, because I'd had a particularly bad day and couldn't understand why he made these things happen to me. One that comes to mind was, why wouldn't the car start? Because there was a drunk driver on the road and he didn't want me on the road. Well, as it happens, we have a real life situation like that where God does know what's best, and sometimes we don't understand, but he does what's right for us at the right time. David Ramsey in our congregation here, his brother was set for back surgery. But before he could do it, his wife got sick. She was losing her memory, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. They put her in the hospital, and they had to do brain surgery. She had a tumor that was pressing on the brain. Right now, she's in rehab. But because of this, he had to delay his surgery. And listen to this. The doctor who was to do his surgery had been disbarred, I guess a lawyer, that would be a lawyer, right? But he was going to have surgery, and his license had been revoked in Texas. He was under indictment for malpractice, and so the VA had moved him to a different state, and David's brother was going to have surgery by this surgeon. So now he's delayed the surgery. He's getting shots in his back to keep him going while he takes care of his wife as she recuperates. So see, God does sometimes have a plan even when it doesn't go quite the way we think it should. Let's start this morning on a happy note here as we sing Praise to the Lord, the Lord all the Almighty. And if you would like to and are able, you may stand. You may be seated.
I neglected to read this card when I was up here doing the announcements because it slipped in my folder. So this comes from Alice Eckhart, and she wants to say, Dear Linda and members of the Prayer Pillow Group, words can't express how much I appreciated receiving the pillow. I truly felt the love of God and his healing power. You are a special group, in his love, Alice Eckhart. Thank you, Alice. This is the congregational prayer today. Father, how grateful we are that you are the vine who gives life to your branches, and that apart from you, we can do nothing. Your love heals our hurts and supplies the strength we need to keep going. Help us, Lord, to see that like branches on a vine, our Christian life is a growth process, and we mature as we abide in Jesus and learn to know him better. We know this is a lifelong challenge. We ask that you help us to keep abiding in him, because the greater our trust in Christ, the greater our compassion will be. We give you this prayer and ask for your help in the powerful name of Jesus.
You know, as Betty says sometimes, just one more thing when she's forgotten something. We do have prayer pillows back on the back that need to be prayed over, and, you know, sign your nod on there. These things are so powerful. It's just unbelievable. Yes.
And also, we're meeting tomorrow morning at my house at 9 o'clock.
Okay. There's a meeting for the prayer pillow group at Linda Shook's house tomorrow at what time?
9 o'clock.
Okay. All right. It's time for us to sing again. So let's all stand and sing Just a Closer Walk.
Verses 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. as they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Once again, it's time for us to give back a little of what the Lord has given to us. So I would ask that if you're able and you wish, stand and let's sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Heavenly Father, please accept our gifts this morning. You have blessed this church so much, and we are giving back to you just some of what you have given to us. May we use these in the good works of our church, and we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. My soul longeth after thee.
You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
You alone are my strength, my shield.
Pleasure to introduce to us Dr. Trent Ballard. Some of us heard him before. He gave us a new insight on the wedding at Cana, and today he has another message. I have to tell a personal story because I liked what he said about his mother. He said she was a 73-year-old who drove a red sports car convertible, and she was packing. Well, I could empathize to a point. When I was 73, I drove a white sports car convertible, but I didn't have a gun. So, Dr. Ballard, we're ready for you. Thank you.
Good morning. The scripture was read of John 15, 5 to 8, and I've entitled it, A Fruitful Life and a Filtered Prayer. I'll start by giving you an illustration to bridge the context that when Jesus spoke, he spoke into a farming society. So when we talked about vines and flowers and fruit and grain, which are all through the parables, everyone who heard the story would regularly understand what he was talking about in an agrarian society. In my backyard, we have a couple of flower beds in the back corners. We live in Highlands Ranch. The yards are usually pretty small. But there's a certain vine there that is an imposter. It's an imposter. It grows rapidly. It's green. It produces a lot of leaves and a lot of branches. It even blooms. But it's an imposter, because this vine will find our flowers and begin to wrap around them and begin to choke the life out of them. It will wrap around the rose bushes, in and between the thorns. And it will begin to choke the life out of them. See, in the passage just preceding the one we'll look at this morning, Jesus says he is the true vine. He's not an imposter. Because at the time of Jesus, there were many messiahs, people claiming to be the Messiah, but they could not do what Jesus was doing. If you have a Bible, I would love for you to follow along in John 15, 5 through 8. When we consider this passage, I want to make a personal connection here. For over 25 years, I've been in ministry, and this passage has been core to the way I've tried to live my life and core to the way that I try to operate in ministry. I want to share these principles with you today, both for how to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, how to live that abundant life that Jesus talks about, and also how to pray in a way that Jesus loves to answer. Jesus is the vine. He is primary. Now, my goal is not to hurt your feelings, but on behalf of Bruce and Betty and some of you that have gotten to know, I love you guys. Sometimes faithful are the wounds of a friend, but you need to hear this part, that we are not primary in this passage. We are not primary in this world. God is. He is central. And Jesus says he is the vine. We're the branches. Now, sometimes that is humbling for us, and sometimes that's injurious towards our egos. We often want to be the center, and we want to be the branch, correct? We like for the world to revolve around us. I have three children. Some of you have met them. Their behavior ranges from really good to not so good to on down the scale. As any small children desire, they desire for everything to revolve around them. When you have multiple kids in the household, that begins to clash and overlap. You know what this is like. We see it in our world with countries, with leaders, with superstars. They want to be primary. They want the world to revolve around them. But in this passage, that contradicts what Jesus is saying. He is saying, I am central. All of life comes from this vine and emanates outward. He describes us as branches being connected to him. So let's think about it practically. If we think of ourselves as a branch, every breath that we take, every drink that quenches our thirst, every bit of food that we eat, it has to come from the vine. If he did not want us here right now, we wouldn't be here. He holds our life in his hands. He gives us the very life breath. He created this world. He is the vine. He is the source of life. When we consider our salvation, it has everything to do with him. We could do nothing. We could not do anything to earn our way to God. He's central. He is the vine. So we have to establish that before we can move on. It's humbling, but it's a good humbling that our dependence would be upon this vine for our very life. So Jesus is primary. Look at this passage again. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit, but apart from me, they can do no thing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The question is, do we believe it? I'm not sure how long you've been a Christian. But I would guess that you've encountered seasons of your life when, whether willingly or unintentional, God wasn't getting it done in the fashion that we desired. He was not getting it done fast enough. So we had to take the bull by the horns, we had to take the reins, and we had to try it ourselves, and we usually end up sad and discouraged and groveling because we've ruined our lives in many ways. He has created us to be dependent on Him. He has created us to be connected to the vine. We're the branches, He's the vine. Life works best, not easiest, not smoothest, but life works like God created it to work when we are connected to Him. Note, I didn't say easiest. I didn't say without pain. You and I were created to know Him, to make Him known, to glorify Him. But Jesus' point in saying, when you're disconnected, you can't do that. The reason I've created you for, when you get disconnected from me, when we lose intimacy together, you begin to live other than what you were created for, and life gets confusing. He goes on to verse 6, he says this, if anyone does not remain in me, they're like a branch that is thrown away and wither. Such branches are picked up, they're thrown into the fire and burned. Why? Because they're useless. Disconnected from the vine. Our lives lose power. They lose life. They lose purpose. If every breath that we have is to be used to glorify God in whatever we do, whether it's doing laundry, helping someone, buying groceries. Can you buy groceries to the glory of God? You sure can. Can you buy them to the unglory of God? You sure can. You can try to make it out without paying for a few things. We can try to steal. We can think about how this world and God and that person in line are mistreating us and they should do it differently. We can complain about the prices. We can go on and on. But we can go into the King Supers and we can give the clerks a smile. We can give them a word of encouragement. We can give them a word of hope. This is an illustration often used in a church that I served in. You know who needs the most encouragement often? The poor person at the Walmart checkout stand. Or not the Walmart checkout stand, the Walmart return area. On a Sunday afternoon, especially if the Broncos have lost, and there's a long line, sometimes they just need to experience the gospel in a human form to come up and smile, maybe connect with them, say, wow, that person is not having a good day, were they? I'm sorry they treated you like that. You could be the gospel in a few moments in someone's life at Walmart, at King Supers, at wherever. That's life connected to the vine. So you can choose to live your life that's me-o-centric. You can even read your Bible me-o-centric. Saying, God, what are you going to give me? And when's it going to happen? And we call that health and wealth gospel, and we try to stay away. Because we know it's not the real gospel. I said this last time, but it connects here. When we start looking at life and our circumstances, not with the vine, but with our circumstances, When we start with our circumstances and our feelings and we work backwards, we always end up distorting who God is. But if we will start with that the vine is holy, good, loving, and trustworthy, and work towards our circumstances, they will shrink because our God is a big God. He doesn't get bigger, it's just our perspective changes. Understanding that He is primary, we can do nothing apart from Him. We must run to Him. We must spend time with Him daily. We just sing the doxology. I was fortunate to have the man who authored the book Knowing God and many others named James Ivan Packer, maybe known as J.I. Packer, world-renowned theologian, when I was getting my master's. Every single class, he would say this. Since good theology leads to doxology, let's stand and sing it. And we had to sing the doxology every class. But he understood something. That having a right view of God leads to worship, regardless of the circumstances. Did you hear that? Having a correct biblical view of God leads to worship, regardless of the circumstances. So let's pause here and reflect on where we've been thus far. We can't do the Christian life without Jesus. We can't save ourselves. We can't inherit salvation without Jesus. We cannot. We weren't created for that. So stay connected to Him. What does that look like? Speaking with Him daily. Just for what I want? No, more than that. Repenting, telling Him where I've not walked with Him. Seeking Him to give us insight into the Scriptures that hopefully we're still reading daily and memorizing. There's these children's programs at church called Awana and different ones, Bible Blast. They're all about these kids memorizing Scripture. We need them for grown-ups. We can't just live off the verses we've memorized in the past. We need to stay with it. It keeps our minds sharp, keeps us in the Word. God, give us insight into Your Word. God, show me the hurting person. God, show me. Lead me. Give me the words to say to the people that I encounter at work today, at the restaurant today. I'm playing a foursome today, God, and I don't know two of the people. And I wonder spiritually if they're connected to the vine. But maybe by the end of 18, regardless of how I play, I can show them what connected to the vine looks like in my life. Secondly, is this point. If we don't want to remain in Him, He will oblige. If you don't want anything to do with God, He'll let you off the hook. Now, I've seen a lot of people say they've tried Jesus. And because Jesus wasn't Santa Claus for them, giving them every whim and wealth and health that they wanted, they walk away and say, well, I've tried Jesus and He doesn't work. Friends, that's not what it's about. It's about having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And it revolutionizes our life from the inside out. One more point on this. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot? I know we have a pilot in the room. What a wretched bumper sticker. God is not your co-pilot. He is the pilot. Holy Spirit's the navigator. God the Father is the CEO. Get back and serve someone. The God is my co-pilot. I understand someone meant it well. I understand we're co-heirs with Christ. That's biblical. But rather than ask Him to join us, I always want to be joining Him because He can see around the corner of tomorrow that I cannot see. He can see the hearts and minds of men, women, and children that I cannot see. He knows who's hurting far before I do. He knows a word before it's on our tongue. He knows the number of hairs on our head, some of us less than others. I get that. I don't like to think of him as my co-pilot. He is my king. I want to be respectful to him. Well, let's move on to the second passage. What if I told you that here is a formula for helping you to pray in a way that God says will unleash heaven? Huh? By the way, we're going to look at this, and it's going to feel like three simple steps, and when you get done, you're going to be like, well, that seems easy, but that seems really difficult, all at the same time. It seems like a lot of work. I can tell you this, you can look up Nehemiah's prayer, Nehemiah 9. You could look up Ezra's prayer, Daniel's prayer. You can look up Paul's prayer. You can run them through this grid and see if they match what Jesus says here. So see, what I'm giving you is just the tip of the iceberg. You can go home, you can spend weeks scouring the scriptures, seeing if what we're saying this morning is true, and I guarantee you it is, because I've done it with some folks. Here's what Jesus says in John 15, 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Now that sounds more glamorous, but we need to unpack it. We usually like to shrink it down to, well, Jesus said whatever I wish, right? I wish for my spouse to be in a good mood today, a Cadillac. I heard that. We saw one of the Mary Kay pink Cadillacs yesterday. Oh, look at that. I wish for a pink Cadillac. I wish for more money. You can't shrink it down. What Jesus is saying here, if you remain in me, if we continue in our relationship, if you stay connected to the vine. So it's condition one. This blessing, this praying, has conditions. It's a result clause. If you have this, if you do this, then this will happen. If you do this, this won't happen. So here's what he's saying. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that means that you know the word of God. Do you know every single word? No. If you know and understand what God is about, if you know his scriptures, then you can ask in prayer what you wish, what you desire, what you would like to see happen, and it will happen. Now, looking at your faces, you're wondering if that's true. What do we do with this? With passages like this, we have to step back and take all of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation into account. The word is literally wish or desire, what you want. God said this in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Step one. And he will give you the desires of your heart. See, if I'm delighting in God, what delights him delights me. What he desires, I desire. When I pray in that way, he loves to answer prayers that he desires. When I'm delighting in him, when I want what he wants, when I pray what he wants, he answers that prayer. He wants to answer that prayer. Now, if I'm not connected to the vine and I'm asking whatever I wish, they will not be very holy prayers, I promise. Don't laugh too hard because you're the same way. You see, there's a condition, there's a stipulation. If God went around giving us whatever we wish, we would ruin ourselves, wouldn't we? We would eat very rich, exotic foods, which would not be good for our bloodstream. Nor our waistline. We would drive cars that had too many bells and whistles for us to be distracted. We would get to the point that our comfort, like the vine in my garden, would crowd out the life and purpose of why we're here. Don't just pull that little section out of the scripture. Take the whole counsel. What is this filter of prayer? Well, let's look at it. There's three parts. You could walk out of here today, you'll probably have it memorized. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Here's John 15a. It's been revolutionary in my life. First, that is to the Father's glory. Is what I'm praying, if God answers it, going to glorify the Father? Or is it going to glorify me? That's a tough one. Will he get the glory? Or will I get the glory? You see, the one who has the power to answer the prayer needs to be the one to get the glory. They deserve it. The one who has the power to answer the prayer deserves the glory. It is God. So the first piece of this filter is my prayer going to glorify the Father? Second piece. Jesus says that you bear much fruit. All right. First part, is my prayer glorifying God? Second, is it bearing much fruit? In the context of what Jesus is talking about in John 15, it's about bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Oh, well, what fun is that? The most fun you'll ever have. When the living God starts to work through you to transform people's lives, to bring them from death to life, dark to light. It's revolutionary. So the first part is that God gets the glory. The second part is that our praying, if answered, would bear kingdom fruit. That people would come to know God, that people would be transformed by the power of God. And the third one is this. He said that it would show you to be my disciples. That you would be on display, that you're my students, that you're my children, that you live like me. I would unpack it like this. That it shows us and grows us to be his children. Jesus is saying if you'll stay connected to the vine, knowing his word, the conditions for blessing, then you can ask. And he'll answer when. It's something to glorify God. When it's something to bear kingdom fruit, and when it's something to show you and grow you as a child of, and student of God. That it would take some time to reflect and think through our prayers. Are they matching that? Or are they prayers that just kind of would glorify me? If we want our prayers to reach heaven, if we want to change lives, if we want to live with the purpose and intentionality that God has created us for and called us to, let's take a little bit more time with our prayer list. You have you have one back here, you have prayer pillows, you have a prayer list. Let's begin to filter them through what Jesus says. Our heaven-honoring prayers. Friends, that we would stay connected to the vine, that we would glorify the Father, bearing much fruit. Not as an imposter, the one in my garden that chokes out life and steals life, but that we would give life and hope to other people through Jesus Christ. And that in our praying, we would be shown and we would be grown to be his disciples. Now, I promise. Go through the prayers, the biblical prayers in different places. Use the Lord's Prayer. Filter it through. Is God getting glorified? Is it bearing kingdom fruit? Is it growing disciples? Apart from him, we can do nothing. If there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ, maybe you thought you did, and maybe God has worked on your heart in the past few minutes. Let's deal with that now. Maybe you go, you know, life's gotten busy. There have been some circumstances which have created some animosity between God and myself. We're in church. Could we just deal with it now? I'll lead us in prayer. But I'm going to ask you to work it out with God. You deal with God. Let's pause and pray. Lord Jesus, you have said that we can do nothing apart from you. Help us to not try to prove that incorrect. Sometimes we want to tough it out and show the world and you that we can do it without you. Help us not to be like that, not to be living in that way. Help us to run to you, to depend on you. Lord, if there's someone here who feels like they built some walls towards you because they're frustrated or have a different perspective on how life should have turned out, would you begin to remove those brick by brick and soften their heart? Lord, if there's someone here who has thought they were walking with Christ but realized maybe they misunderstood what that meant. That today, in an intimate moment with you, they would put their complete trust for whatever comes in the future in your hands. Lord, maybe we'd be contagious for you. Give us eyes to see the people that you see that are hurting. Help us to pray prayers that stir transformation and are pleasing to you as Daniel's prayers were. Thank you for empowering our lives. Thank you for offering the opportunity for abundant, purposeful life. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We'll do the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you very much for that. We have a lot to think about now, right? Please join me now as we do our communion hymn in preparation for taking the elements. Please stand and we'll sing My Savior's Love.
Sinner condemned, unclean.
now I think it will say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
As we approach the table today, I want us to remember that what Jesus said when he was with his disciples, despite it being 2,000 years ago, it has bearing for us today. He said, take this bread and eat it. When you do, remember me, and take this cup and drink it. He said, I will not drink of this cup again until we're all coming into the kingdom, and that includes us. The next time Jesus drinks this cup, we'll be with him at the heavenly wedding banquet. So as you take it today, take it in anticipation of taking it with Jesus at the great banquet in heaven. Could we have those who are going to serve the elements come forward? And I'll pray for him right now. Lord Jesus, we're excited for the day to be with you, to share in the bread and the juice. When you return, when life is no more, when we get to live with you and see your face forever and experience redemption, we won't have a need for faith anymore because you will be right with us. So it's today that we take, with that attitude, this bread and this cup. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
couple of real quick announcements here. Everybody should say hello to Caitlin, who filled in for us today. We're glad to have her back. Our college girl has returned. And Kay and Ron Hayes are not leaving right now, at least not as quickly. So there's cake in the back for everyone to share, okay? All righty, we're going to sing one more hymn, and then we'll get to that Broncos game. So please stand and join me.
I know you're excited to be at a game later. I'm assuming it's the Dallas Cowboys-Seattle Seahawks game, right? As a Dallas Cowboy fan, I would just assume that, right? Okay. Well, good luck to the Broncos. Let me send us out of here. Walk this week not trying to live in your own power, but being connected to the vine who is Jesus Christ, that it might be to the Father's glory, bearing much fruit, showing us and growing us to be his disciples. God bless you. Amen.